For the first quarter, net streaming adds 7.41 million. Estimate was for 6.43 million. So much better than anticipated. Really continuing on that blockbuster fourth quarter where Netflix's market value surpassed $100 billion for the first time and really raised expectations for this time around.
You know, year over year, they had about 4.5 million last year in the first quarter. So a big growth year over year. And again, where's that growth coming from? It's coming from their international markets broadly.
The IRS said in a statement that several of its systems were hit with the computer glitch, but that all indications point to it being a hardware-related issue and not other factors. Later in the day, the IRS said its processing systems were back online and that it would give everyone an additional day to file their 2017 returns.
Trump's top intelligence chief, Mike Pompeo, made a secret visit to see North Korea's Kim Jong-un, who said the trip happened over the Easter weekend. Meanwhile, North Korea is expected to dominate Trump's talks with Abe this week. Sources say the Japanese prime minister is wary of the U.S. striking a deal with the North that does not include short-range missiles posing a threat to Japan. However, he praised Trump on Tuesday for his, quote, unwavering determination to resolve the conflict.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's April 19th, and it is 5:10 in the morning. We're glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell today on the broadcast. It's Thought Leader Thursday. Doug Myers is here from Associated Bank for our Thought Leader conversation, which will focus on taxes and also some other financial news this morning. We'll bring in Doug in just a moment. And in our second segment this morning, Todd Stetson will be here. He's the co-author of Memos to Dan, Entrepreneurial Lessons from a Father to His Son. You're going to enjoy that coming up in the second segment this morning, some memos about being an entrepreneur. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are flat to negative this morning, off about 5 points on the Dow. NASDAQ and S&P futures are off a couple of points each. In the pre-market this morning. Around the globe, markets in Europe are generally higher, with the FTSE up about a quarter. The CAC is up about a quarter as well. Markets in Germany are lower this morning. And in Asia, markets are generally higher. The Hang Seng up almost 1.5%. That's a 424-point increase there. The Nikkei up just a fraction. Other markets up about a third in South Korea. Shanghai is up about 1%, 26 points this morning. And oil is trading at $69.01 a barrel, up 54 cents. A couple of stories before we begin. Our thought leader this morning, the Federal Reserve's latest survey of economic conditions around the country finds growing concern among businesses about the adverse impact higher tariffs could have on firms and the overall economy. The Fed reports that the economic outlook remains positive, with growth continuing at a moderate pace in the central bank's 12 regions. But the report, the Beige Book yesterday, also says various industries from manufacturing to farming and transportation are worried about penalty tariffs on China and also imports of steel and aluminum. Possible penalties and worry that that might impact the economy overall. The report says there are widespread reports that steel prices already are rising, in some cases dramatically. The report will be considered by Fed officials when they meet next, May 1st and 2nd, to discuss interest rates. The Fed's last boosted rates in March. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe says his country's steel and aluminum supplies would not exert any influence on the security of the United States. Abe says in a joint news conference with President Trump that the quality of Japan's steel and aluminum products is high and would be difficult to replace. Japan also pushed for U.S. to exempt the country from recently imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. There are reports yesterday that a lunch on this matter down at Mar-a-Lago involving the president and Abe and trade representatives and members of the Economic Council did not go very well, and that there was a lot of disagreement after the end of it. American sorghum farmers fear they could lose their largest export market if China follows through with a tariff on their crop. China's imposed preliminary anti-dumping tariffs of 178% on U.S. sorghum this week as part of ongoing trade dispute with the United States. It's Thought Leader Thursday, and we're happy to have Doug Myers with us this morning. He's SVP and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Here we are talking after tax day. Hopefully you got your taxes in on time. We got a nice big refund.
Well, I got my taxes in on time. Now we can start talking to all our attorney or our CPA clients who have been so busy over the past couple months, and we can take them out to lunch and reconnect with each other.
So the big discussion among them will be what, do you think?
I think the different tax strategies. I mean, we spend a lot of time in financial planning and counseling our clients on what to do and how the tax changes are going to affect their financial posture and going forward. I think there's going to be a lot of changes. One is obviously the charitable deductions, which comes into play. And I don't think that will necessarily stop people from giving to the charities that they're passionate about, but I think they'll look at it differently, and there'll be some different tax ramifications with that, certainly.
Let's talk about that. What do you think will be the biggest of those tax ramifications?
Well, I think for the people who fall in a specific tax bracket of not having a lot of deductions, I think that could certainly prohibit them from making some charitable donations. But I think once you get above the certain deduction level, and the deduction levels have changed, you know, one of the big changes was standard deductions moved from $12,000 per individual to $24,000 individual. And until you have itemized deductions, that's when the charitable deductions kick in and add value to your or give you certainly a benefit on the tax side. And I think that will change a little bit. But at the same time, I don't think that will really, when you get a high income earner and lots of deductions, and the home deduction also went down, by the way, from $1 million to $750,000. Once again, tying into the deduction situation, I don't think that will dramatically impact high earners having a large deductible amount. Mm-hmm. It won't affect their charitable giving, I think.
Folks have been concerned about those other lower earners, the mid-tier earners who've been charitable givers, and worried about whether or not they'll continue to give that money. Do you think they will?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I know that as a result of these itemized deductions changes, for example, that 70% of the population will itemize, and that will move to 85%. So certainly a big change there.
What are some of the other changes with the tax bill? I know that we've focused a little bit on mortgage interest. That's one that's changing, but also changes with rules regarding what you use the home equity loan for.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of tweaks on the home equity side. And the mortgage side, obviously, it's on the upper end. You know, as I said earlier, the deduction comes maxes out previously at $1 million, goes down to $750,000. There are some specific guidelines for using a home equity, whether it's purchase money, whether it's improvements that go into the home will be deductible. Other uses may or may not be deductible. It's gotten very complicated, and there's a lot of alternatives to some of these rules that you have to be very careful about.
But there's also the opportunity, again, you have to have a really good financial planner here. That's why we would come to you to find those loopholes, to find those areas where we can potentially make money on this tax bill.
Absolutely. And as we counsel our clients on tax strategies going forward, you know, it makes for some really good conversations, because there has been so many changes in this realm. But when we sit down with people and do a comprehensive financial plan, we're talking about, let's talk about taxes, let's talk about your charitable giving. There might be a charitable remainder trust that they could set up to circumvent some of these changes in the tax structure. We're talking about goals and retirement planning, and all that, all tax planning goes into that. All these decisions are based on taxes in a big way.
I know a lot of us, after we do our taxes, I'm one of them, I like to put it in a pile and forget about it immediately, but that's probably the bad thing to do, especially this year, isn't it?
It is, and we sit down with people regularly, certainly on an annual basis, and go over the strategies that we've developed for them and make sure that we're all on the same page and make sure we're taking into account the changes and the differences going forward.
There has been some rumbling that perhaps lawmakers will go back in and fix some problems with this tax law, but also make some changes in other areas, and one of them was talk about going in either in another bill or fixing this one to add something called the universal charitable deduction. Tell us what that is.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about that, and there's been several items that they've that there's been questions on. And I saw a recent article where the Secretary of Treasury had to weigh in on a couple of controversies on people misinterpreting the new tax law. And so there are a lot of different changes that could come about and a lot of tweaks that, that Congress may address on the unknowns that, you know, they passed this thing very quickly. And I think when you do that in a very quick manner like they did, it raises some questions and confusion.
Some other issues while we have you here today, I want to talk about Federal Reserve President, Chicago Federal Reserve President Charles Evans was out speaking, talking about the number of potential rate hikes this week and inflation, suggesting that maybe we'll only see a couple more rate hikes this year as opposed to three.
Could be. It's all unknown right now. We've had one rate hike already this year. They feel like inflation, which is just below 2%, needs to be capped at around that 2% level. With the current strong unemployment numbers coming out, and I know corporate earnings have a lot to play with that in the economic models, and corporate returns are looking pretty positive as we go forward this year. I think the numbers around 18% increase over last year, which is a very healthy number. So I think if the Fed sees that inflation hovers around 2%, I think it's very realistic we could have another one or two rate hikes this year. If they feel like inflation increased over the 2%, and that's their magic number, I think we could see some changes in that. But I feel like we're looking at one or two for the rest of the year.
They'll also be looking at, you mentioned earnings, they'll also be looking at these new round of earnings reports that are happening.
Correct.
From all indications, corporations are going to have nice earnings reports, banks even better.
Correct. And there's been some talk about changing the capital levels on the top 30 banks versus the banks that are not the top 30. The CFPB, which is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, has been in discussions about changing its philosophy on how they're approaching some of the banking regulations and policies. So I think there's a lot of moving targets right now on how they're looking at the banks. But yes, corporate earnings appear to be looking very healthy for the remainder of the year. I know the companies have been sitting on a lot of cash in the past couple of years, and I think that's changing. They're looking at some pretty aggressive capital expenditure budgets going forward because their earnings are up. So I think a lot of these things will contribute to a strong economy and hopefully will keep inflation down, you know, at that 2%.
And the Federal Reserve also looking at changing the stress test rules for big banks as well, cutting the number in half almost that
they
we need
are.
Those stress tests.
It's all about the capital requirements. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to even keep or increase possibly the top 30 banks. But I think the feeling is that if you look at all the banks under the big 30, which are a lot, probably over 6,000 banks still under the big 30, they want to relax the capital requirements a little bit and free up some lending money to small businesses.
There are some things happening at PayPal under the radar. Can you shine any more light on what's happening there? They're trying to make themselves a little bit more like a bank, aren't they?
They are, and there's a lot of companies like this. You know, I look at Amazon, MasterCard to some extent, Walmart even has been mentioned, but I think a lot of these companies are addressing the non-bank client base, and there's a lot of people who are scared of banks for one reason or another. They don't have bank accounts. It might be because they don't speak English. It might be because they don't have proper identification papers. It might be because they're immigrants, and they're we call them mattress accounts. You know, it's the unbanked population, and it's a sizable number. And so companies like PayPal and Amazon and others are trying to get in the financials segment by offering payment methods that go around traditional banks. And whoever creates the float and the trail of money is going to win in this game. I mean, banks are still going to be considered very prevalent and very needed, but at the same time, to the unbanked population, whoever can transfer their money and send money various ways are going to be very successful.
But isn't there a little bit of risk in the unbanked arena? I mean, I'm thinking of FDIC specifically. I know my money in the bank is protected, not necessarily so with this PayPal model.
There is risk, but technology is changing a lot of this. You know, we talk about the fintech companies, and there's been a lot of companies start up that have different financial models other than traditional banking. And there's been some very successful companies in this. And I know that, once again, MasterCard and PayPal and some of these banks that can, or some of these companies that can control your payments are going to be very successful in this realm.
Square and Amazon also on the radar
screen.
Perfect
examples.
Yeah. I'm watching to see what they'll do next.
Square is a great example up there with PayPal, very similar in their platform.
I have been hesitant to get on any of these services. The one I'm going to mention is Venmo. We're signing a landscaping agreement for my condo building. The company that we signed with says they only take payments by Venmo. And I guess I'm going to have to get Venmo.
But there's many fintech companies that have come and gone, and it's like the Wild West. They're considered unregulated to some aspect, and some have done well and some have not done well. But I think as more and more of these companies become prevalent, the OCC is going to come in and regulate them more, as they should, to protect the consumer, because there's, like I said, it's the Wild West right now, and they're able to do anything, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes, a lot of times, that's not good.
Doug, always good chatting with you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Doug Myers is the Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. We have them every Thursday here on The Opening Bell, and we will continue our conversation with Doug after the bell this morning. Post that with the podcast of our show later on WGNRadio.com. You can also find more about Doug and the other thought leaders at AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership and follow Associated Bank on Twitter at Associated Biz.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. A new study found that 48% of Chicago residents have strong support for Amazon's second headquarters, which was the fifth highest among HQ2 finalist cities. Residents in Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Columbus all expressed stronger support for landing HQ2. Boston residents expressed the least interest. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program, back to the program, and thanks for being here for our Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. Are you tired of mechanical how-to books about starting and running your own business? Memos to Dan, entrepreneurial lessons from a father to his son might be the answer for you. Todd Stetson is the co-author of the book, and he's with us this morning. Todd, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Thanks so much for the time to discuss the entrepreneurial world.
Yeah, this is, I think everybody's always looking for how-to on this topic, and this is kind of an interesting way of putting that on paper. Where did you come up with this idea?
Well, I unexpectedly had my son join me 8 years ago about, and it was kind of more of a thing when the economy was not doing well in 2008-09. And over time, all of a sudden, he started taking more interest in the business and everything. And I realized, you know, I really prepped him to take over. And I thought, you know, I need to write like a manual or something, because things happen out of order, not when you expect it. And how else are you going to prepare them? So I was talking with my brother, and he said, you know, I'll take this project on. And we have developed this thing to where now, over a year's time, we've really put together something that covers what we feel is everything from A to Z, instead of, well, Danny, here, this happened today, so learn this. This happened yesterday, learn that. And it's just a great roadmap.
And they sort of look like and feel and sound and read like memos, don't they?
Well, they do, because they are personal experiences that happened to me over the 30 years and how I handled them and how it related to business. So it was just remember this, remember that as time goes on. So
given this opportunity to have this memorialized forever, specifically to your son, to everyone's son, what are the biggest lessons that you're leaving?
Well, I think one of the first ones is it's just important that you prepare your next generation to take over the business, and you need to treat them just like any other employee. You need to evaluate them. You need to be hard on them if they're not doing the right thing the right way. And, you know, you need to appraise them, too. Sometimes you're afraid to give too much praise in front of the other people. But that's the way you're going to get them comfortable. You're going to get your team and the rest of the staff comfortable with your child when they start to take over. So you need to treat them from day one just like anybody else to get them going. And then as you're preparing him, you need to prepare yourself, because one of my concerns is if I walk out the door, what am I going to do? So I don't want to stick around and pester him, so I need to prepare myself for walking out the door and being ready to walk away from it. So it's both sides.
And that's, the biggest part of this, too, is to make sure that plan's in place, because you don't want to wait into the very last minute to make this decision.
That is so true, because I think most people, especially in a small business, you're more worried about, you know, where's my next sale going to come from, or what's our next product, and where's the payroll going to come from for next week. You're never thinking of that, and that day is going to come, and if you're not prepared, you know, you may be forced into a sale for an unfortunate circumstance or whatever, and you may not get out of the company what you wanted to help your retirement. So it is something you need to start thinking about earlier than you think, and there's great outside sources that you've been working with all the time, accountants, your real estate planners, who can definitely help you in that direction. They're a great source. You're paying for them, so use them.
Todd, I'm kind of curious. I mean, in a family business, when you have others who are not your family working alongside your family, and you know they see the clear decision that somebody like your family member is going to get promoted or take over the business, does that create sort of like turf wars inside the business? And how do you deal with that?
Well, I think some of that may depend on how big your business is. For me, I'm still pretty small, so I think when people are coming on, they may not be thinking, oh, someday I want to run a company. You know, we don't have layers and layers of management and three or four VPs who are all fighting for the top. So that has kind of helped me. But I also believe if you bring in a child when they're young and they start and they learn everything ground up, I think they will gain the respect from your team and your employees, because they're seeing that child is learning everything, whether it's, you know, all the way in the warehouse, it's the ground floor, they're doing the dirty work, they're doing everything. Then, you know, they're not blind either. They will see the writing on the wall. And yeah, you might, in a little bit bigger company, you might lose some good people because they're going to see that, well, he's going to eventually take over. But that is part of being, you know, the owner and getting a family member in. So you got to be prepared that you might lose some decent people along the line.
What other lessons can you share with us? What things have you learned along the way that are important?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, make sure, first of all, that this is something your child wants, not something you want. As I said, Danny kind of grew in it and showed more interest more and more and has taken over, which is great. It's not something I kind of forced on him, hoping it would work, because when that day comes and I want to go, if he's really not ready or really wants to do it, it's going to suffer. And everybody will, you know, if the company starts to falter, everyone suffers. So it's important that you know that it's his desire to do it. And then you got to be ready to let it go. Once he is, or that child is in charge, it's his. You don't want to keep questioning, well, why'd you do that? You got to let it go. And, he has certainly taken us to a whole nother step, because he's brought the infamous technology age to our company, whereas me being a little bit of the Stone Age, I thought, well, are you sure? But I let him go with it, and it has all worked out.
What happens if you're in a situation, somebody out there listening probably is, where a family member doesn't want to, has indicated they don't want to take over the business, but you still want your business to continue? I would imagine that's a tough thing to hear.
You know, it really is, and that's where you kind of got to, you know, check your pride at the door. You know, what you love and love to do, your children may not like the same. So you have to be prepared for that, unfortunately. And, you know, you don't want to force them into a situation they don't like. So then you're just going to have to go out and look, hopefully, for, you know, someone else that you can train and transition into. And maybe it is an existing employee who's not family. But that is tough. You got to be ready for maybe your child to say, I'm really sorry, Dad, Mom, I kind of don't like what you do, so I'm going to go do this. And, you know, you got to try and then be happy for them and let them chase their dreams, just as you chased yours doing this.
Yeah. This is a wonderful book. Todd, we appreciate you being here with us this morning. Again, the book is called Memos to Dan, Entrepreneurial Lesson from a Father to His Son. We appreciate your time this morning.
Well, I thank you very much, Steve, and good luck to anybody out there who's going to chase their dream.
All right, Todd Stetson with us this morning. Again, Memos to Dan, Entrepreneurial Lesson from a Father to His Son. Pick it up now. A wonderful read.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market, Dow Jones futures off 27 points. NASDAQ futures off 12. S&P futures down about 5 points. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. An interesting day in the wheat market at the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, as wheat rallied to a one-week high, pulling corn higher, but soybeans didn't do quite as well in yesterday's trade. May soft red winter wheat futures up 9 cents a bushel, but May corn was also higher, up 2¾ cents a bushel, and May soybeans ended the day lower, down 4¼ cents. Some concern again about trade relations with China, some concern about not enough rain for the wheat crop here in the United States. So that's the way we traded yesterday. Meanwhile, in livestock futures, April live cattle ended 92 cents higher at $118.97 a hundredweight, and June cattle up 37 cents. April feeder cattle up just 2 cents a hundredweight, and the most actively traded June hog contract ended with a gain of $1.77 a hundredweight. Allendale, the market analytical firm based in McHenry, Illinois, is out with its predictions on the cattle on feed report coming up later this month. And they're expecting March placements to be 12% lower than last year at 1,859,000 head. And the total cattle on feed numbers, according to Allendale, will come in at 7% over last year's. And this would be the highest April 1st total in 12 years. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Thursday, April 19th. Freddie Mac releases its report on this week's average mortgage rates today. Initial U.S. jobless claims report due out mid-morning. Philadelphia Fed Business Outlook Survey coming as well today. We'll get a look at leading indicators and the EIA natural gas report due out as well. Fed balance sheet later in the day, money supply, and Fed Speaker Loretta Mester on the circuit today. Earnings continue in earnest today. Blackstone Group, Bank of New York Mellon, Novartis, Philip Morris International, and Procter & Gamble. Also in their Unilever, E-Trade Financial Corporation, and Skechers USA, all reporting their quarterly reports today, their financial reports. That's just some of the stuff that could move the markets on this Thursday, April the 19th.